Howdy, space cowboys. Adam and I are back. We were defeated trying to talk about this show when it first came out. We're back for a second round. It's me, Adam, and then also Dan Selke from the great and good Winter is Coming podcast. Thanks for coming on, Dan.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me. I'm the editor of a site called winterscoming.net. We talk about dorky stuff, so this is very much in that lane.
I wanted to say thank you, and then I also wanted to apologize to have you on talking about this bad show.
Listen.
Sorry about that. Adam likes it.
Well, okay.
I didn't mind it either, to be completely honest.
Oh, okay.
Honest with
all
you.
Right. Whoa, all right. Hot take. Whoa, oh, hot take.
I'm the weird one.
You're weird.
Oh, no. Like, okay. It's here's what I'll say. Like, it's not good, but I kind of liked it. That's where I'll let it go.
Well, Adam has no background or relationship with the original anime. I have probably too much of one. Have you ever seen it, Dan?
Oh, yeah. I was back in college in 2004 when it was kind of all the rage. And then I watched it again before the show just because me and my partner were just like, have you ever seen this? It's pretty badass. So I showed that to him. And yeah. It was fun. It held up, I thought. So, yeah, I have watched the anime multiple times.
So you watched it on Adult Swim then, when it was first airing?
I don't even remember, honestly. Okay. I think like it was one of those, like, someone in the dorm room had like some DVD, like, you've seen this thing,
right,
it's
right.
Real cool. Okay. I was watching that one.
So, well, now, I think the best thing that came out of this is that the original anime is, like, Netflix bought the show, and so it's now on Netflix in beautiful Ultra HD, and
nice.
So it's now a convenient, nice way to watch the original show.
The original show is on Netflix as well.
Yeah, Netflix now owns that shit.
It came out before the remake came out. I mean, for obvious reasons, okay. You know, they wanted to get it kind of the runway. Yeah. And I mean, you're right. I mean, if nothing else, I'm sure a lot of new folk watch the original, which would make a remake hater like you very happy.
And it looks better than ever on Netflix, I gotta say. The cartoon, that is. The
anime. Maybe I'll give it a swing.
Nerds will get mad if we call the anime a cartoon.
It's easy to watch, too, because it's like it's very episodic. Like, the remake of Netflix, they had the whole, like, modern Game of Thrones-y serialized thing. But
yes.
I think the anime, like, everything stands alone completely. Like, you could jump in at any point to be fine.
You know, the other part of that, Dan, is that the episodes are only 20 minutes long.
Yup. Right. Oh, God. I did miss that. It's not good enough to be an hour long. I'll say that.
No.
For damn sure.
Yeah, they were a little long. It felt a little long, but man, you know, I was, like I said, never saw the anime, so I have no point of reference, but
right.
I really love the world that it takes place in. I think it's very cool. The whole 70s kind of funkadelic. 30s. I love it. I love that combined with sci-fi space flying. Like, it's just a neat little dynamic, and it was neat to see it in a live action setting as opposed to an anime as a first time watch for me, because I'm very visual. So I like to see things. So I really, really, really liked that part of it. But like James has told me many times, the writing was terrible.
And like, you're not wrong, James. Like, no, that writing was not super. But I mean, also, Adam, I agree with you. Like, when I was watching this again, I've seen the anime a couple of times. I'm a fan, and I watched it like thinking, and I've seen some other like Netflix live action anime. Live action anime in general is a pretty hard pass for me. I have never seen one I like, including this sort of. Although this came the closest.
What's sad about that, Dan? This is like one of the best ones.
Yes, it is. This is definitely the best that I've seen. And I did like the visuals, like you said, Adam. Like the thing the show is going for the most, I think, is the style, which it borrows heavily from original anime. I mean, it's just weird. It's just weird. It's just you know, let's like combine 30s film noir with like some speed racer-esque, like really like vibrant colors and clearly blocked lines, and put a jazz soundtrack that like is like 40s jazz, like playing telephone through several other people over the years, and it comes out like this. Like it is definitely, it's not a boring show for me to watch, and I did like looking at it, often.
Right.
But again, none of that means, I know it's not good, but I still liked the moment to moment watching it because it was pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does look great. And it sounds great.
It sure does.
Well, we'll get into a deeper review of it, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the production and the reception. And so one of the bad omens for me before the show even came out was, you know, the news that the showrunner was going to be Christopher Yost, who probably a lot of people are not familiar with him. I certainly wasn't, other than his phenomenal work writing Thor: The Dark World, which is widely considered to be the worst of the MCU movies.
That's right. I remember this.
And then Eternals happened, though, so now it has competition.
You know, everyone hates the Eternals. I kind of like it.
I didn't see it. I'm totally bandwagoning on that one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's not great.
So he, aside from Thor: The Dark World, he also just writes like the straight to DVD Marvel animations, which I don't know anyone who's a fan of those. I've never seen any of them. I think they're pretty bad from what I've heard. But again, haven't seen them. Maybe they're great. Thor: The Dark World, though, not awesome. Too bad that Netflix spent so much money on buying the show and then making this live action one that they just kind of gave it to Christopher Yost, who's got a bad reputation and not a good writer, and they couldn't have found someone, I don't know, maybe someone younger, hungrier, ready to try. Like, you know, it seems like Christopher Yost is somebody's son-in-law, and so he got to make this show, basically.
I mean, I don't want to, like, do too much guilt by association. Like, I don't know Christopher Yost. I don't know his pedigree. I didn't like Thor 2 very much, but nobody did. And, like, Marvel stuff, it's hard for me to, like, blame a bad Marvel movie because so much of that is, like, kind of comes from above. Like, right. I think, like, Kevin Feige writes most of them anyway, like, ghost writes.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he really loved Cowboy Bebop. I mean,
right.
It's clear to me in this show that effort was put forth. Like, it doesn't feel like a lazy in and out. It feels like somebody did like this a lot.
And liked the original. And liked the original, too, I think.
Definitely. So I think there was a chance. I don't think it came together perfectly.
Another thing before the show, you know, before the trailer was even out, there was this really stupid non-controversy of the characters, like, original, or their first sort of production pictures showing the characters' costumes, and they had Faye dressed as she is in the remake, which is, you know, dressed like a person, like a regular person, not a weirdo. And everyone was really upset that she was not dressed in the insane costume that Faye wears in the anime, which again, in anime, with the aesthetic they're going for, kind of works. If you saw a normal person dressed like that walking down the street, you would think, well, this is cosplay, or this person is soliciting. It's not an outfit a normal person would wear.
The lady of the night.
Right.
Honestly, I thought they could have gone further changing the costumes. Like, I'm looking at the thing, and like, this still looks too stupid. Like, this still doesn't go far enough into what an actual person might wear. Although then I kind of started to watch it more, and I kind of sunk into it, and I kind of got into the clothes a little more. So the costume was a non thing for me. Like, it's fine.
No, the only people who were upset were extremely horny and angry anime fanboys, and unfortunately. When you're making these like geeky properties, like, you sort of do have to bend the knee to the fanboys a little bit. Like, if you look at what's happening with the DCEU, and again, none of those movies or shows are that great, but like, you can tell that Zack Snyder, for whatever reason, had his finger on the pulse of the angry fanboys because they love him and they worship him. But in return, they buy a lot of his merchandise, right? And they buy movie tickets, and they stand those movies incredibly hard. And so if you start a fight with the fanboys, which is what Daniela Pineda ended up doing, which is like, she posted a video mocking the fanboys, and you know, they deserve to be mocked, but you mustn't mock them because it never works out. Even if you're right.
The internet is their turf. Like, trying to, like, dig yourself out of a Twitter hole with more tweeting is like trying to put out a fire with lighter fluid. It's always the wrong approach. It never works. But I mean, like, that again, like, so, like, what are you saying? That every creator has to pander to the kind of internet rabble of people who are going to be mad at something stupid before they do something?
I mean, maybe not pander, but, like, don't engage.
Or insult.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Don't draw their ire. I think if Daniela Pineda had just said nothing, it would, you know, they would have been angry about something else a few days later. It reminds me of, like, when Rian Johnson, after The Last Jedi came out and, you know, angry fanboys were mad at him, he started, you know, fighting back with them on Twitter. And again, like, it didn't pay off. It never redounds positively when you fight and engage with the fanboys. Maybe not pander, maybe not make a movie that they want to see because it would probably be bad, but at least, like, don't fight with them. Because as you said, Dan, like, this is their battleground.
Neil Gaiman seems really good at it. I don't know what he's like, very good at threading the Twitter needle. He, like, just tweets like the exact kind of pithy, smack him with a little retort and get out of their thing, and just kind of doesn't follow up. If you want to fight with him, I recommend following Neil Gaiman's Twitter.
So already the fanboys are pissed off about this stupid thing, and so maybe we have to give up on them, and hopefully we can catch a broader appeal to a general audience. That's their only hope at this point, because the fanboys are mad. And when the show does come out, at first it does okay. I think, like, the day one numbers were around 100,000 viewers, and then it stayed strong for a couple of days. But the issue is Netflix is extremely skittish. They're extremely disloyal.
Oh, yeah.
And if your show is not hot for at least a month, if it doesn't have good buzz and good numbers for around 30 days, Netflix loses interest. And that is probably the thing that killed them, is that around 2 weeks, everyone stopped watching. I made it through, like, the first and second episode, and then I was in too much pain to keep going for a few months. Because I wanted the show to be good. I thought it would be good.
When I heard that it was canceled, I also admittedly just stopped watching, because I'm like, well, there's not going to be an end to this ever. It's just going to leave you on a cliffhanger. And so maybe I will just drop that, watch the anime to get it, and then maybe finish the show and see how it works. Or I don't even know.
And I didn't bother watching because I wasn't interested. And I liked the anime. Like, I think that was their bigger problem. Like you said, like, I'm sure they lost the fanboys. I think they might have watched anyway. I think it's important to, like, separate screaming, whining online from what people actually tune in to see, which they really care about. But they didn't attract a general audience. I mean, I think that was because it didn't have a lot of hype, and also just wasn't very good. So just it just wasn't good enough to make the long haul. I don't really super blame them for canceling it, but I kind of wish they had done a little more. Now that I've seen some, it was high spirited fun.
I think they should have at least finished it. Just at least finished it.
Yeah,
that's like a movie or something. You made an excellent point where, like, you. So the fanboys are already out, and now it's too niche to have a broad appeal.
It's weird.
And then it's also like not good enough to, like, you know, like Squid Game is not something that you would think everyone would love, but it was good enough. And so it sort of succeeded. And if Cowboy Bebop had been really great, maybe they could have enjoyed the same success, but it too niche, and then not, you know, as you guys said, you find a lot of things you could like about it. I found some things I liked about it, but not enough. Not enough to the point where I was excited to watch it.
It was certainly no Squid Game. I mean, good Lord. Like, that I was hooked on from pretty much the start.
Yeah,
like this. I mean, it's cute. It's nice. But yeah, it wasn't going to stand on its own. That was the words I think are accurate. You're right.
Are you ever going to watch it again, Dan?
I mean, I haven't watched all of them. I kind of watched a bunch to do this. And I found myself enjoying myself, but I still haven't watched the rest. I know that Edge was up at the end. I saw like the very end where they like tease Ed, and I'm like, that's stupid. So probably not. God.
Yeah, that was bad.
And I
see, I didn't even get there yet.
I did want to see their version of the crazy big top hat wearing flying villain man from the end, because I remember that episode I was really badass. And I watched that one. I was like, he's not as good here.
No, that episode wasn't terrible though. There are definitely worse ones. so aside from not so great Netflix ratings, it also didn't get good reviews. The professional critics, it's got a 51% on Rotten Tomatoes, but 51%, but then still given rotten. I thought if you got over 50, you got fresh. No,
I think it's 60.
I think it's 60. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they got an F, and then 47% on Metacritic, which is a low F.
Yeah.
After class, see me.
And you can't go by the audience scores though, because the review boys are in a rage, review bombing it.
What was the audience score? Just out of curiosity.
It actually wasn't that bad. It was around almost the same. Let's find out.
Okay. Yep. I don't.
Because I think Metacritic. Score. They did something in order to fix the review bombing recently. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
It was not specifically for Cowboy Bebop.
A lot of movies subject to the review bombing lately, it seems.
The audience score on Metacritic, at least, is... Well, it's a 4.3. It's even lower. And that's probably a result of review bombing.
Yeah.
Because I know that this show has an audience. There are people who like it.
Yeah.
It's the people who never gave it a shot who already hate it. and the people who gave it a shot just didn't love it.
And I'm willing to bet some of the folk who never watched it but hated it do also write some reviews. But I mean, again, it's important for me to remind myself that like people who like the show, people who make the show, and people who review the show because that's what Reddit told them to do are very different places. And don't necessarily connect or mean anything.
No. And same with, like, The Last Jedi. Like, the whole online discourse for this show is tainted by, you know, these obnoxious haters who don't have a substantial critique of the show. They're mad about, you know, the fan service and the lack of the booby outfit. That's the only thing they care about.
I recall seeing The Last Jedi in theaters and, like, going a full, like, that was fine. And then, like, coming back and then getting online and being like, people have strong feelings about this?
Yeah.
But it was fine.
Put a lot of effort somewhere else.
Okay.
So, I want to talk about the canceling for a second. I thought Netflix kind of did them dirty.
Oh, yeah. It was, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, it was really short.
That's crazy.
It was 2 or 3 weeks out, and they made it, like, a big announcement. Which, to me, like, that was part of what tanked the show. Maybe don't come out straight away and say you're going to cancel it. You can't sit on that decision
for
a month or two. Yeah. That generated a conspiracy theory.
Oh, good.
That Netflix canceled it like that in order to gin up a controversy.
Oh.
And get people talking about Cowboy Bebop and begging them to put the show back on.
Did it work? No. Not that I know of, anyway.
Well, it hasn't worked as of right now, but there's an online petition on change.org to bring the show back. Yeah. It has 150,000 signatures. I signed it, by the way.
Did you?
I'll sign it.
Didn't like the show.
Why not?
I'd like to finish
it. Right now.
You know, I wanted to like this show. I thought there was a chance it could be good. And maybe seeing the critiques, they could have course corrected in a season 2. We'll never know.
Yeah.
I agree that was very short time. You're right. That is weird. Like 2 weeks, a month, like that does seem kind of disrespectful and just, I mean, God, it must be just like money down the drain too.
Yeah.
Just like,
right.
Just for like your own reputation's sake, just wait a little longer so it doesn't look like you were that dumb for investing that hard for that little.
Right. Shooting yourself in the foot on your own property that you've, I mean, what was the budget? It had to have been pretty high.
It was huge. It was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge. And Daniela Pineda had a great reaction on Instagram. She just posted a picture of like two guys like doing cheers, and then the bottoms of both their glasses fall out. Interestingly, there's also a rival petition, which is calling on Netflix to ignore that first petition and keep the show canceled.
That's pretty funny.
It's got, yeah, it is funny. It's only got 10%, only 13,000 signatures on that one. I also signed that one.
What? What?
I'm just trying to increase the SEO of Cowboy Bebop Netflix, right?
It's just leveling the playing field.
Me, you, bottle of Chianti, two bottles if we're feeling dangerous.
Sounds to me like blackmail.
You're damn right it is, because, Jet, you are black and you are male.
Okay, well, let's do a bit of a review. We'll start with you, Dan. You're the guest. What did you like about the show?
I guess I already revealed everything, didn't I? But I liked the style. I liked the visuals. Okay. I liked the music. I liked the kind of stuff they imported from the show, which was this kind of slapdash combination of Western tones with film noir tones from the 30s, with some like samurai movie tones in there, with Vicious and his sword for no reason, because you got to have a sword in anime. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like 80,000 years in the future, you all have swords. Gunplay versus swordplay versus kind of like Looney Tunes esque kind of battle sequences where it did feel like live action cartoon is one of those catchphrases that gets thrown around a bunch. I don't really think means a whole lot. But when you know it when you see it, and when they're like kind of battling in zero gravity in these like brightly colored outfits doing kung fu as they get sucked out of thing, like that says live action cartoon to me. I liked the way it felt and it looked. So yeah, I guess that would be in general what I enjoyed. And I liked the flow of it, although it wasn't as flowy as the original anime, and it really should have been briefer. Those hour-long things did not do it any favors.
No. And because it had to be, I don't know if this was a mandate or whatever, an hour long, there's so many scenes of them just, like, bullshitting.
Yeah.
Just, like, talking about nothing.
That's a plague in modern shows in general. Like, I blame those, like, Judd Apatow movies from the 2000s, 40-Year-Old Virgin, for making like, every show and movie just have scenes of characters just shooting the shit. Yeah, I mean, is it entertaining? Like, sometimes, but like you don't need to have it in every single thing. Some of the actors are appealing. Like, I warmed up to them. I don't ever really think I grew to like John Cho very much as Spike, but I liked the guy who played Jet, and Danielle Panay, his name I can't remember, even said it like 18 times, grew on me as Faye. I like the dog.
The dog.
I liked Daniela Pineda in some episodes. In other scenes, they kind of make her like a little too obnoxious. I really liked Mustafa Shakir as Jet. I think he was the highlight of the show. I thought both her and him did like good, like, you know, not like a caricature, but a kind of impression of the English language voice actors from the anime. And I thought they did a pretty decent job. Much more Jet than Faye. I would agree with you that Spike is the weakest character. And one of the things that I brought up to Adam when we first talked about like the first couple episodes, Spike and Faye are like way too similar in their personalities and in their narrative voice. They're both like angry, quirky, hot tempered, and then they're older, but millennials basically. Well, Adam, what did you like about the show? You're the biggest lover of Netflix Cowgirl, the number one super fan.
My gosh, yeah, number one super fan.
I'm curious, like someone who like never saw the anime, like what was your reactions going in like fresh?
So, now prefacing this with, I grew up with James and company, and these guys watched it all around me. So I was aware that it existed, but I had never actually seen it. So I kind of knew what they looked like. I kind of knew what they sounded like. But that's about as much as I got out of it growing up. Watching the first episode, I really liked the first episode coming from an area of not knowing what this is at all. It was cool. It, you know, zoom out to a casino in the freaking space, you know, and they're having a gunfight and, you know, you get that quippy dialogue back and forth. I thought it was fun. I thought it was cool. Like I said earlier, the stylistic choices they made were great. I thought this was beautifully filmed. Netflix does a great job with that, especially all the 4K, Dolby, HD, whatever they have now. I thought it looked great. From what James told me, the original band came back, the Seatbelts, to play all the music. I thought the music was top-notch. Yeah, really good. I really love the soundtrack. I found myself listening to the soundtrack on Spotify, listening to the theme song. I loved the intro, and from what I understand, that's a shot-for-shot of the original intro. So that gives me hope to maybe watch the anime someday. I think I might actually watch the anime, but yeah. So all in all, I think it's entertaining. Writing, it's lackluster in a lot of spots. You know, it felt, some parts felt a little forced. Casting, again, unbiased. I don't know. I think they did okay. I did like Jet a lot. I liked his whole character dynamic a lot. Everyone else was just okay. I mean, I think they did a good job with the costumes. I think the costume design is pretty good. But yeah, I mean, I didn't finish it because I heard it was canceled. You know, it was one of those like, oh, this show's already canceled. Why invest the time? But I think I might just power through it and finish it just to finish it. Because I don't like not finishing shows. The only one that I haven't finished is Westworld. Sorry, James. Haven't finished Westworld.
That's but okay. Yeah, you don't need to.
Yeah, no, there's another one. Yeah.
I don't blame you there. Jesus Christ, that show.
Yeah, I know. That's what I hear. So maybe I'm not missing much. But yeah, I mean, I like the show for what it is. You know, it's unfortunate it got canceled. Especially so quickly. It was very... It was a bummer to hear Netflix already just throwing in the towel on it. Because I think it has the potential to be really, really good. Maybe they would learn from their mistakes in season two, but we'll never know. Or maybe it is a marketing ploy. But yeah. So overall, okay. You know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it, you know.
I liked it too. James, do you think that like the entirety of the first season, it might be about as long as the whole original anime, which has like 22 episodes or something, but they're all like 22 minutes. And this has 10 episodes, right. But it's like an hour, 45 minutes.
Yep.
Like, well, let's do the math right now. 26 times 22. Probably already not quite too as hard long. For me. But,
I have no idea.
And then
I didn't go to
the
school
Netflix shows 10 times an hour. So 10 hours on Netflix, probably around 12 hours. For the anime, so yeah, they already nearly lapped the entire anime, which is a completed story.
And the anime is so sharp, like every episode is kind of just this neat little adrenaline, just sort of like jolt, like an idea of a story goes through like beat one, beat two, beat three ends, and just the remake. I'm going back to this being too long thing. It really would have. I think they tried too much, or just had the wrong conception of what it should be, because it just didn't work as this long form, long story arc going on thing. No. That
was actually one of the worst parts, because the serialization of the Netflix show revolves around Vicious and Julia, who are the weakest characters.
Yeah.
And every time they were on screen, it just stopped the show dead. And
I agree.
Towards the end of the season, I was like, unfortunately, doing like the 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, okay, what's the point of these Julia and Vicious scenes? Because I'm not enjoying them. Can I please get back to like a good story, or at least a halfway decent one? They were the worst part. They were the ones driving the serialization. While Jet and Faye and Spike were having their like monster of the week, Julia and Vicious were moving on with their like really weird Harley Joker romance mafia plot that just really bad. And that was one thing that I really hated. I guess they kind of felt like in the anime, there's not too much going on with Vicious and Julia. So like, okay, then we have a blank slate to do whatever we want with these characters, and what
Maybe
they wanted to do was bad. Yeah.
Just
like,
don't.
Exactly. Like, just, so it like tried to be both an episodic Monster of the Week thing and a longer story. It just did not work. And you're right. Like, yeah. So I guess my question to you guys both, like, just about like live action remakes of things that are already pretty good. Do they ever need to happen? Because even if this was better, I have a hard time thinking it would need to exist when the original anime is out there being pretty cool.
Right. Well, to answer your question, think about, let's get out of the realm of Japanese anime, the Disney live action remakes, none of which have been that good. And
profitable,
one of the things, and a lot of people have pointed this out, like, you, when you are animating something, you are unbound. You can present anything you want. You can just put your vision on the paper and draw it the way you intend it. And that's, you don't have the same freedom when you're filming.
Lion King is a great example of that. I love Jon Favreau. Love him. I think he's great at what he does. I think he's done some great stuff, especially with like The Mandalorian, the newer stuff that's coming out. But when he did the Lion King remake, he tried to do something that you just can't do, which is try and create caricature faces on real animals. What made the original Lion King so powerful and so effective was that it was lions singing and smiling and dancing and being happy and vibrant and being sad and angry. And that just did not translate well to the live action. Yeah, it looked amazing. I mean, it looked amazing, but
there was no emotionality
the
to the animals.
Yeah, it's not the spirit of the movie.
It looked like Mr. Ed with peanut butter in his mouth.
It is. I feel like it is part of this like kind of inferiority complex a lot of studios still have, where they assume live action is like the genuine way to do something, but not a single live action remake has ever been, at least I can't think of one, has ever been as good as the original. The difference between something like Cowboy Bebop, which had the same problem that you're talking about, Adam, where, like, you know, in the anime, like, you know, Jet, they're wearing these kind of odd costumes, don't really read in live action, so Spike has his blue, like, leisure suit on, which looks natural in the anime, and it didn't look terrible in
It looks like
in,
cosplay in the show. Yeah.
It looks more like
does.
It, yeah. And just, like, you can either just do it like it's the cart, like the anime, and then it looks ridiculous, or you can do it like a real version, but then, like, why are you bothering? It's not the anime anymore. So it's just, it never seems to work to me. The difference between the Cowboy Bebop and the Disney remakes make money. So I get why they at least. This thing had no reason to happen.
The only one that was remotely good on the Disney remakes, and remotely good is a little bit of a stretch, was Aladdin remake. Oh my God, the Aladdin remake. Like, I didn't like
that either.
So I liked the Aladdin remake. I think they did okay with the casting, and Will Smith was, I mean, you can't replace Robin Williams. Yeah. You can't replace him, but he did well doing a completely different stylistic choice of that. And so I was okay with it. You know, I was fine with that one, but Lion King, not a fan. Jungle Book I didn't even see, but I feel like it would have had similar issues to the Lion King.
Sorry, but I just before we let Cowboy Bebop off the hook and diverge, I do just want to talk about the biggest thing in the show was the and this has now become like an industry term, the Whedon speak dialogue, which is like, you know, Joss Whedon not involved in the show, but you could be forgiven if you thought that he was, because like they are so aping his writing style, and like I told Adam, like, this Faye is basically like a character straight out of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And they all kind of talk like they're in Buffy, but like not even as good as Buffy's, you know, quippy, also random humor. Just to give the audience who will probably never watch the show a taste of some of the better lines, Faye's catchphrase is, "Welcome to the ouch." There's a good line where an older, unattractive woman is hitting on Jet. And he's like, are you trying to blackmail me? And she's like, well, you bet I am, because you are a black male.
Oh, my Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Someone's like, I just want to throw her a bone. Yeah, while you're throwing her your bone. Like, it's really
very forced.
And for a show, which, yeah, it's violent. There's nudity. There's a lot of adult themes or whatever. It's almost like it's written for preteens in 2008.
Oh, man. know, like,
I would say is the voice of the writing. I found maybe Daniel enjoy this. This is a nice, lines from the dialogue overlaid with the anime characters here. This is an actual exchange between Vicious and Spike.
Oh, gosh.
Vicious is like, who shaves your balls? I don't like sharp blades near my dick, so I like the natural approach. You savage, it's just uncivilized.
Damn. You're so right, too, about just the, and we talked about before, like the Whedon speak, the Apatow speak, just the need to shove, fill scenes with noise. But again, in the anime, a lot of them were, like Faye was kind of a chatterbox, but that was because, and that contrasted with the other silent people,
right?
And yeah, they just would not shut up in this thing, and it wasn't good talking. It'd be different if it was like brilliant, but it wasn't.
It wasn't funny half the time.
Yeah. It's like you said earlier, Dan, that the shows are becoming susceptible to this happening frequently. We're watching Peacemaker right now.
Oh, I was going to bring that up. Peacemaker, oh my God. Exactly the right.
It does it. It does it so much, and sometimes it nails it really well. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times it's like, okay, let's go.
Right. Wrap the scene, please.
Yes. Like, move on to, like, make your episode shorter.
Tarantino's another one who just, I think folk watch stuff like that and just like, I can do that, right?
Or
I do love Tarantino. Oh, yeah. I Tarantino does it well, or at least does it distinctively. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, the kind of rapid fire pitter patter, like, or even like 1930s, like I can't think of any actors from that era. I'm not going to waste time trying to. just like whatever they're trying to ape, they're not doing it well.
Right. It's funny you brought up Tarantino because I thought that this show would be good as an HBO miniseries directed by Tarantino.
Sure,
that's a nice idea.
Yeah, 10 episodes done.
And also. Just strange, and I don't know if it's Christopher Yost or somebody else's fault, but when they're like, oh, what can we really do to make Cowboy Bebop like fresh and appeal to a new audience? Okay, we'll make it sound like Gilmore Girls. That's what people wanted when they watched the anime. They wished the characters sounded like they were on Gilmore Girls.
I have to point out, something that I noticed that was weird. Did you notice James or Adam, like a few times they did the anime thing where they like all laugh together, like after like a joke is funny, which, that looks so weird when you're doing it in live action. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it just looked odd, like incredibly. No one laughs that long. No one laughs that like in sync with each other. Humphrey Bogart. That was what I was trying to think of from the 30s. But yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So anything else that I might have liked about the show, I was just killed by, like, the Whedon speak, the soy bant is another thing people call it, a cringe humor, Disney humor, Marvel humor, whatever you want to call it. It can be done well. We're in a cultural moment where it is done basically all the time.
Yep.
Like you guys were saying, it's in Peacemaker. It's in Star Wars. It's in Cowboy Bebop.
It's why The Mandalorian is so, like, powerful, because he just doesn't talk at all in that show.
Yeah, ooh, right. Yeah.
It's one of the things I'm like, this is so different.
It's right, good.
There's no Whedon speak. I can't recommend this show to anybody. I've seen the whole thing. I'm one of the few. I don't think a lot of people actually have finished the show. I won't recommend that anyone finish the show. Dan already talked about the stinger at the end of season one, which is that Ed shows up and their interpretation of Ed is basically the YouTube celebrity Fred, if anybody still remembers him.
Awful.
Basically, Fred pops out And he's like, eh, Spike Spiegel! And or the annoying orange, if you remember that. It's that kind of content.
Good. And I'll still finish it, James. I'll finish it for you.
if you want to do something for me, I'd say don't.
Okay.
Finish it. Watch the anime. But I will say, and I don't know if you guys watched it, episode 5, where they kind of do a film noir thing, and it is more focused on Jet, and it's sort of his backstory. That episode I unironically enjoyed. I thought it was really good. The only parts I didn't like was when they cut to Faye and Spike and they were doing Whedon speak at each other. So I can recommend that one episode, basically.
I did like that episode, but I called the twist like at the very beginning.
Oh, I mean, it's film noir. You know the partner did
it. Fair.
Or the girlfriend or the husband or the child or whatever.
Yeah.
I liked the way they like redeemed his asshole partner who you're supposed to hate. Is actually like a kind of a nice guy, and you find that out as Jet finds it out. That was the one thing I liked. The end of the show is really bad, you guys. you find out that, like, basically, I'll spoil the end of the show. Spoilers for Netflix Cowboy Bebop, if you care. Basically, at the end of the show, Spike and Julia reunite. The reason why this doesn't work is that Julia's like, why didn't you rescue me all these years? And Spike's like, that's a great point. And then Julia's like, well, joke's on you because actually I'm evil. And then she takes over the Red Dragon Syndicate and
great girl
like
boss.
Defeats Vicious herself. Yeah, she becomes like, you know, Daenerys Targaryen, queen of space dragons, girl boss, psycho. Because that's an empowered character, guys, not someone who gets away from a life of crime and lives the normal life that they deserve. Someone who becomes even more violent and dangerous than the people that persecuted them. That's a happy ending. But yeah. At least it's kind of funny to talk about.
Fun to look at.
Yeah.
And to listen to.
Entertaining to watch.
Here's my recommendation. Whatever your native language is, switch the spoken audio to a language you don't speak. And then watch the show, and you'll probably like it a lot more than I did.
My co-editor, Daniel, did enjoy it. So, like, there is an audience for this show. 100,000 people signed the petition to get it back.
I see.
And
he
again,
also signed the reverse petition,
yes,
James.
Because it's chaos. That was a good show. I mean, I thought it was an interesting, good effort. A for effort, guys.
Yeah, Adam likes it. Adam likes it, too.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. It's enjoyable to watch.
There are some sickos out there who like this, and I suppose at least they've got these 10 episodes to watch.
Could I ask, like,
Yes.
What do you guys think of, like, Netflix's sort of predilection or, like, preoccupation, that's the word, preoccupation with live-action anime? Because someone at that company is really into it, because they did that Death Note series with Willem Dafoe, which was bizarre.
That was bad.
They had a Full Metal Alchemist thing, where it was like live action and also really bizarre and weird. Now they're doing, it's not quite anime, but they're doing that live action Last Airbender show, which is not exactly anime, but close enough. Like anime-inspired anime remake. Someone at Netflix is going hard on live action anime, and should they just stop?
My guess, Dan, is that the rights to these are, like, pretty easy to obtain. Probably because most people figure it's a bad idea. And so they can contact, you know, Toho or whatever Japanese company owns the rights to the manga or the anime and get them to license it out for not a lot of money. Because Netflix is taking the whole production risk. And as you said, next coming down the pipe, or maybe we should say next on the execution block is Avatar. And then after that, One Piece.
I
love
One Piece.
That can't be good. There's no world where you could make a live action One Piece and it's good.
I'm pretty nervous about Last Airbender because I liked that show a lot when I was younger. And
I can't see it
going great.
They should have brought back M. Night.
I mean, yeah, if they were smart.
And then after that, they're making a live action Gundam movie. And again, I know I'm a fool. I've been fooled so many times. I think the live action Gundam might be good because it's just CGI robots fighting.
So it's Pacific Rim.
In that case, it's basically animated, right? Because it's just CGI robots fighting.
Right.
Cut to the little kid from Dune in the cockpit going like, but I don't want to drive the robot. Like, I think it could be good. Maybe.
I wonder if they'll try like Evangelion or something. It's been really weird and internal and try to make that a live action thing. Oh, it'll be terrible. I can't wait.
So you guys are in a realm I know nothing about because I've never been an anime fan. All of these, if I ever watched the remake, this would be the first time I've ever seeing any of this. So for someone like me, it could be good for someone who's not into anime. I said this on our own podcast earlier. It's exposing this anime property to a person who would have never seen it if the live action had never have come out. So maybe it inspires me to watch.
If you don't then go on and watch the anime, then there's no payoff.
I know. So that's just me being stubborn, James.
No, I mean, actually, I think it's a good point that, these things are exposing people to this world. And, you know, maybe, I mean, I'm going to sound like a total snob when I say something like this, because I'm having trouble, conceiving of the remakes as worthwhile in themselves. But I like that they're bringing attention to the source material. And maybe with enough tries, they will have a breakthrough. It's possible.
Right.
Seriously, can anybody think of a live action cartoon, not even anime, anything that worked? I mean, you liked Aladdin, Adam, you said, I guess.
It was doable. I mean, like it was acceptable. I didn't hate it.
There's been some good comic book movies, obviously. But,
that's the same thing.
The one I hated the least was probably the Wachowskis' Speed Racer.
Ooh! Good point. That's that one was pretty interesting.
Oh my gosh, I forgot
and
about
like
that.
Similar to Netflix Cowboy Bebop in a few ways, but I mean, there the original source material is like also awful, so there's no damage to be done.
And they had like a vision for what they were going for. That one was at least interesting. Right. I mean,
yeah, it wasn't done by committee like this one.
Yeah. Oh, clearly not. Nothing that bonkers gets done by committee.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for putting yourselves through the ringer of watching the show. Apparently, you both liked it, though.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
You're the odd one out.
Yeah. Thank you to me for taking the psychic damage of actually watching the whole show.
Yeah. I'll get there.
I've seen the whole show. Dan, thanks so much for coming on the show. We'd love to have you back sometime.
Yeah. Ditto.
Yeah, absolutely.
People, if they want to hear more of your voice and more of your stuff, where can they find you?
All right. I'm the editor on winteriscoming.net, where we cover things like movies and TV that have dorky skews to them. So you're talking dragon space lasers, you know, space cowboys who go hunting for bounties. Maybe we reviewed the whole show back when it came out. We had someone on it, kind of wasted time. If you maybe look in retrospect, I co-host a podcast called Take the Black. We stream live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. on the Winners Coming Facebook page, Winners Coming YouTube channel, and also available in podcast form. I typically play all that stuff, so you can find us there. I'm probably on Twitter or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, unfortunately, you did a whole hour on Cowboy Bebop Netflix season 2 predictions, and then you just had to throw it away.
That's unfortunate.
Okay, guys. Well, as they say at the end of the show, see you, Space Cowboy. Or more appropriately, easy come, easy go. Because the show's classy.